The news on flavored e-cigs talks a lot about the technology and teen use, but parents need to know more about the dangers of nicotine. So know this. 1. Nicotine is a toxic poison that can rewire teens' brains. 2. It can increase mood swings. 3. It can limit attention and learning. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez. And on the line, we have Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer, Land Infused Capital Managers in New York.
Dodge, Morgan Stanley warned investors that are underestimating the negative impact on stocks and corporate bonds once the Fed starts reducing its $4.5 trillion balance sheet. Is that a view that you share?
Yes, yes, Brian, it is, and good morning. It is, once the Fed starts selling, they are going to create a negative feedback loop across global markets. But there is no way of anticipating it until it actually happens, because if the market is still very strong and is not reacting to the potential. So, and the fact that it appears that the slow roll that the Fed is actually estimating, projecting, is going to be either as slow or maybe even slower, that may continue to push the market even higher before the market eventually recoils from the change in policy. The signs of financial stress will definitely be clear, though. You take a look at corporate credit markets and preferred shares. They'll begin to show stress, particularly in companies with over-leveraged balance sheets due to the excessive share buybacks that they've been going through. The market is also very likely to be influenced by trouble emanating from the international money market funds as the influence of bond buying from foreign sources in the U.S. fixed income market begins to dry up, and that we expect to see at the end of this year. So for now, everything's fine, but I think that Morgan Stanley has it right, particularly as we get to the end of this year.
And do you think that that would have a bigger impact also on the broader economy, not just in financial markets?
They may, but it will be a secondary impact. For now, the economy, the fundamentals are continuing to be strong and act independently of technicals, of money markets, of commodity prices, etc.
Now, investors have yanked money out of emerging market funds for the first time in months. In fact, emerging market debt funds and stock funds both had outflows last week. Do you think that global investors have turned more cautious overall, or have they just turned bearish on emerging markets specifically?
More cautious overall, particularly emerging markets. There's some of those investors have long-term memories. They go back to 2013, and the perspective of where we are now, there is some relative significance to what occurred in 2013. You take a look at Argentina's century bond, that's quickly become a focal point for an indicated warning of the excesses of our financial markets. Given that the current surge in demand for higher-yielding emerging market assets is mainly driven by extremely low and in some cases negative bond yields in developed markets, that stems from central banks' ultra-loose policies. Yes, the threat of a tightening-led correction in emerging market asset prices should not be understated, but you cannot anticipate it.
So it looks like they're going bearish on emerging markets, but perhaps then flocking to gold. Money managers seem to be flocking to gold, gold testing 1,300 resistance level. Are geopolitical concerns fueling this rise, or are there broader economic concerns in this flight to safety?
It's a combination of the two, but that 1,300 level that you mentioned, it's been tested three times this year so far. It has not broken. It's very stiff resistance from a technical point of view. And we're talking about gold, a commodity. So technical trading is very important, and we need to get through that 1,300 level before the longer-term trend of gold as a commodity turns bullish. In the meantime, the short-term pattern is already positive. There is support around the 1275 level. But in terms of overall, the purchase of gold now is a combination of events. The shorter term, the concern, the geopolitical risks that are facing the world at this point, that's going to be the primary factor for gold to get above the 1300 level. If that risk does not increase, we suspect the $1,300 level will remain as resistance.
Now, as part of the broader push towards commodities, investors seem to be very bullish on copper, aluminium, and other industrial metals, and pushing the prices up to multi-year highs. What is fueling this rise?
Well, I do admit this is an incredible upside move in all the commodities, except for gold, of course. There are three reasons that we see. First, this year's nascent rebound in global growth and the perception that that's going to continue, with major economies around the world shifting into higher gear after a longer period of lackluster performance. That's number one. Number two, the market is perceiving that supplies are being reduced. And finally, the sell-off in the dollar will continue to boost prices from a commodity point of view. The prices have fallen in recent years alongside with other commodities, but new producers have saturated the markets. So offsetting that is the fact that commodities have been denominated in dollars and have become much more affordable to foreign buyers when the U.S. currency falls, and that's what we've seen recently. So the combination of events gives us the background that we're seeing in commodities. And you take a look at zinc. The Shanghai Futures Exchange has moved to cool the speculation in contracts. They've imposed a cap of 2,000 lots of new positions for non-hedging clients. They're taking immense steps to try to contain the upside move, and we're seeing that across the board. So we need to monitor this very carefully. But again, this is more of a commodity play as opposed to fundamental and major market moves.
Dodge, given some of these conflicting directions of various markets, what then are you advising your clients at this point of time?
In terms of investments, investors have to wait for a serious pullback before selling. From the longer-term perspective, you can see what happened today when the perception that reduced taxation and perhaps the less of a risk in terms of Fed fund policy drove the market again to relatively new highs. So you cannot anticipate a move to the downside. We're also beginning to see the use of technical and quantitative strategies and targets as opposed to evaluations by fundamental analysis to make moves within the market. We're seeing that from a strategic point of view, selling rallies and buying pullbacks versus what we've seen up to very recently of buying breakouts where stocks go to new highs, that is a change in the strategy for being involved with the market. This does not have to do with the fundamental analysis, and what we're seeing is there's a big difference between the fundamentals of a company and the stock of a company. Right now, the perception is the stock of a company has become overvalued and needs to retrench, and so therefore we're not seeing as much of a strong push to the upside at this point.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
E-cigs don't burn tobacco leaves, and they come in lots of flavors. That's what tobacco companies tell you. Here are three things tobacco companies don't say. 1. Many teens don't know their flavored e-cigs have nicotine. 2. Nicotine is a poison that can rewire the teen brain. 3. 80% of kids who tried vaping did it because of the flavors. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.